let us now turn our attention to the Word of God. Megan, if you'd come on up, we are going to be looking at Luke chapter 6, verses 27 through 36. And church, if you would, please stand with me out of respect for God's Word this morning as Megan reads.
But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other one also. For from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those from whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great. And you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Church, hear the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thank you, Megan. Father, we pray that you would open our eyes and our ears to what it is that you would have for us today in a text that is unbelievably challenging for us, and yet is one that you have called us to. Father, we pray that you would give us your favor and your blessing this morning as we look at your word. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So here's the question. What do you do when you are faced with an enemy? When you are confronted with an enemy, like how does that play out in your life? Like, here's the thing is that this is a question that I think many of us, well, if not all of us, and I do actually believe that all of us have had to deal with in our lives. Either you're currently dealing with this question or you've had to deal with it at some point, whether it was in school or in your workplace or even maybe within your families. And what's fascinating about this text is you've got Jesus who comes and he begins to share, and the first thing that he says is a call to something that is unbelievably unnatural, amen? Unbelievably unnatural. Like, not just that, but shocking and contrary to everything that is normal for us. I mean, just think about the people of Israel. They're hearing this, and the first thing they're gonna think about when he talks about enemies is Rome. And you imagine, they're thinking like, love Rome? I mean, these are the people who are taking our money, who are killing our families, who are enslaving us. These people believe that the emperor is God. Like, they can't be further away from who you are, and you want us to love them? Like, this is a really, really challenging. And yet, I think the reality of it is a lot of times we come to this, and this text is one that we throw all over the place. We make bumper stickers on, we make coffee cups of, and it's easy to say, but it's really, really hard to do, isn't it? I remember in high school, it would have been probably about midway through our sophomore year, a guy came into our class. And it was interesting because I don't know what it was about me in particular, but I don't know if it wasn't that I wasn't the most athletic kid in the school or whatever, but for whatever reason, he seemed to see a bullseye on my back. And from that moment forward, literally the first couple days, he decided to try to mock me and make fun of me and make my life a miserable experience for the rest of my high school career, which, by the way, in many ways, he did. Now, here's the thing. Every single night before I would go to bed, I would think about this guy. What do you think I thought? Like, good things? No, like, here's the thing. Like, I was the kid, I'm like, man, I'm just imagining that day when I like either one, I go to the gym and I just bulk up big time, and like he goes to swing at me and I like dodge and grab his fist, you know, like the movies, and like kind of turn it around and I just, wow, like that. Like, I'm thinking that. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the moment where maybe he comes to school and something terribly embarrassing happens to him, or when he's playing basketball and the ball hits him in the face instead of catching it, and then I can turn the tables on him, right? Like, am I the only one, or is that the way most of us think? Like, that was me. Like, I'm sitting, like, and I'm imagining all these moments and all these circumstances of, Lord, that day is going to happen, and I'm going to be able to turn it. And because the reality of it for us is, and the world would tell us that in that space, like, we are to push back, we are to fight back, we are to wait for that opportunity to kind of take over in that space. And in all honesty, senior year, it presented itself and I did push back, and at the end of the day, it kind of stopped. I mean, that's what the world would tell us, right? The world would say, that's what you do. That's what you engage. But that's not the reality. That's not what Jesus is telling us to do in those kinds of moments. Jesus is telling us to act differently. And I think that it's interesting that Jesus comes to this after the Beatitudes. He comes to the Beatitudes where he gives us the blessings and the woes. And his first communication is this: love your enemies. Why? Because I genuinely believe this is something we all deal with all the time. And it's one of the hardest things for us to deal with. Now, here's the thing. What, though, defines an enemy? Because I think a lot of times we would think of that term, we would put certain people in that category, and they're the worst of the worst, right? Like, we're gonna think, well, the Nazis, they were the enemy, right? That was clear, that was easy. Or it's this kid who's trying to hurt me very specifically. That's clear. But Jesus gives us the categories, or furthering categories, of what an enemy is. And so he begins to define what an enemy is for us. And so let's take a look at what Jesus says. He says that an enemy is someone who hates you. Somebody who hates you. Now, what does that mean? It's somebody who detests you, someone who can't stand you. Now, sometimes we don't know this, do you? But sometimes you feel it. Like, we've all been in that moment where we know that somebody that we're dealing with doesn't like us. You can feel it in the way they look. You can feel it in the way they respond to you. I'm a pastor, in all honesty. There's things I say sometimes that probably upset some people. And I can just tell you that there's a lot of times that I can be walking down a hall and I see the people looking at us, and you can tell they cannot stand me because maybe they disagree with something, or maybe they don't like something I've said, and they kind of give you that glare. Anybody else has felt that? Like, I've experienced that. We know that this is something that's part of our lives. They don't like you. You don't know why, or maybe you do, but they don't like you. And sometimes what's crazy about this is not even the people you expect. Like, I've had brothers and sisters in the church not like me or express hatred towards me in a sense that they don't want anything to do with me because I disagree with them theologically on something, but then I'll have my Muslim friends love us dearly. And I disagree with everything that they say. See, so sometimes the people that would hate us aren't even the people that we would expect. Secondly, an enemy is somebody who would curse us. Now, again, my guess is nobody in this room has ever had a witch curse them, right? That's probably what we think about. But here's the curse, is when you wish something bad to happen to somebody else. Have you ever been that way? Do you believe that there's people in your lives that look to you and go, man, I hope something bad happens to them? Tom Brady feels this every Sunday. Doesn't he? Because if you're like me, you're going, man, I hope he gets sacked. And I hope nothing serious happens, but a high ankle sprain wouldn't be the worst thing. That's a curse. In some respects, and that's not positive. And I'm not saying that's a good thing, but the point is how many people look at you and go, man, I hope that something bad happens, that this doesn't go well for them, that maybe their car breaks down, they don't get the job, or maybe this whole thing fails. Like, even for us as a church, as we've made some of the moves that we've made, there's some people that are literally sitting back going, I can't wait until this whole thing falls apart. And it all collapses. Right? Like, there's those people in our lives. And you say, well, you're still thinking of this. You're like, I don't know anybody who hates me, and I don't know anybody who's actively cursing me. Well, just in case you think you don't have any enemies, Jesus then also tells us that an enemy is one who would seek to mistreat you. Now here's the thing about this. Like, that can be anybody, can't it? That can be the closest people to you in your life. And it doesn't mean that somebody turns into an enemy all of a sudden, but any single time that anybody treats another person in a way that is not in line with the way that Jesus has called them to, that is mistreatment. And you say, well, I would never say that my wife is an enemy because she said something that hurt my heart or hurt my soul or cut deeply. You know what? If not dealt with, she will become one, because it'll happen time and time again, and bitterness and frustration will root in. And so, yes, even someone who you wouldn't think is an enemy can do that, and they're doing enemy-type things to you. They're included in this list. Those who would mistreat you, someone who would mock you, who would make fun of you, who would want bad things to happen to you, that would do bad things to you. It's a hard word that's spoken. Something that insults, maybe a specific act. These are people who can be considered enemies. But then Jesus says it's also maybe those who strike you. For some of you in this room, you say, man, I've never been struck. I've never been hit, so I don't have any of those people. But here's the thing, just in sensitivity, there's some in this room that have experienced the striking of somebody else. That they've experienced what it's like to have a spouse hit, or a mother or father hit. Or maybe it's not hitting, maybe it's some kind of other abuse that takes place where someone reaches and touches a hand that they shouldn't. Like, that's an enemy. They fall into this category. That is the striking of one. And these are some of the most difficult, most painful, most traumatic things that can happen to us as believers in Jesus Christ, or just as people in general. So these are enemies, but it's also anybody who would take from us, someone who would rob us, and we surely would consider those to be enemies, but what about the people who would constantly come to you and want more, and want more, and want more, and want more? Or those people who would constantly want to lend from you and never give back and never repay back to you? You might not say they're enemies, but I bet you don't call them friends, at least not for very long, right? Like, we get it. This is the kind of circumstance that Jesus is broadening our definition of enemy. He's helping us understand in a deeper way who an enemy might be in our lives. Now, here's something very important that I want you to do. And it's very practical. I need you right now that if you've got a pencil or a pen, I need you to take it out. I'm gonna ask you to write something down. And as I ask you to write something down, it's fine. I'm not gonna ask you to share this. You don't need to share it with the person next to you. You don't need to share it to anybody. I'm not gonna ask you to do anything with it, but this is between you and God. And if you don't have a pencil or a pen, you can pull out your phones. I don't know if I'll ever tell you to do that again. Just don't check the news or anything like that. Like, pull out your phones and get to a place that you can write something down. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to think, based off the list I just gave you, of two or three people you would consider an enemy. You know why that's important? Because what Jesus asks us to do in this next part of the text, or what Jesus starts this text off with, it's not theoretical. This is practical. He intends us to do something with this. And sometimes it's easy for us to just walk on and just pretend like we don't have any of these people in our lives, but we all have these kind of people in our lives, and it's better that we have a face with it as we move forward, because Jesus is calling us to something very specific, and it is a call to love. This is a movement towards someone. I wish I could tell you that you could just be faithful and obedient to this text by avoiding those people. And that we kind of like to do, I know they don't like me, so I'm just gonna pretend like I don't see them in the store. I'm just gonna pretend like I don't, like I just walk by, like that's what we wanna do. And we think, well, look, I'm not hurting them, I'm just avoiding them. And says, look, I'm being faithful. That's not what this text tells us to do. This text tells us that we are to approach them, move towards them, to be as practical towards them and love them. That's hard. It's easy to avoid. It's hard to love. And so what does Jesus call us to do very specifically? And I'll walk through this and we'll go into some more depth. We are to love our enemies, and to love our enemies is first and foremost to do good to them. To do good to them. While someone is hating you, you are to be doing good to them. They can't stand you. And think of those names on your list. Do you do good things to them? Do you seek to be good to them? When they go into the hospital and it's time to sign up for the meal train, which is the church thing to do, right? Like, are you the first one to sign up? Do you bring them coffee just because? Do you love them well? Are you kind to them? Do you approach them with love and goodness? See, we've been called to do good to them. That's practical. That's movement towards them. And that's hard. Secondly, do you bless them? Do you want them to flourish? Again, think about it. Very specifically, think of the names that you wrote down, the names that came into your head. Do you want them to succeed? Do you want them to do well? Do you want them to do well in their business? Do you want them to do well in their job? Do you want them to do well in that sporting event? Do you want them to do well in school? Do you seek to bless them as opposed to curse them? See, this is a matter of our hearts. No matter what they do you want blessing to come upon them? Then Jesus tells us that not only that, but we are also to pray for them. Now I'm gonna be transparent, because I can pray for my enemies, but let me tell you how my prayers oftentimes go. Lord, I would like to pray that you would help that person recognize how much they've hurt me. Lord, I would pray that you would help that person who is my enemy to see how wrong they are. I pray, Lord, that you would help that person who has hurt me to have a repentant heart. That's my prayers more often than not when I'm talking about an enemy. Like, that's the way I want to do it. That's not what Jesus is talking about. This idea is that we would actually pray that the Lord would turn his eyes of favor upon that person. Give them your grace. Give them your mercy. Give them your blessing. Like, that's what he's calling us to pray for our enemies, to pray for those who would mistreat us, to actually ask the Lord to turn his eyes upon them. And that is not what I tend to want to do. I don't even feel, that doesn't even come natural to me when my wife says something unintentionally or intentionally that hurts me. It's not even natural for me to want to pray for her in that way, to go and say, Lord, would you help her to have a good day? Would you help her to feel encouraged? There's this wicked part that would say, you know, I kind of hope somebody says something to her so she can feel how it feels. Like, and I would just be honest, like this is an okay place for us to feel that way as long as we're not acting that way. Like, we need to recognize what our nature is so that we can press against that to what Jesus has called us to. We are called to pray for our enemies. And he says that when someone strikes us, we are to turn the other cheek. I want to be really careful, because in this text, this is not in any way supposed to be a text or intended to be a text to turn us into passive people that just let ourselves be walked all over. This is not a text that talks about nations not defending the unjust or moving into places where there's genocide. This does not have anything to do with the justice system. This doesn't have anything to do with even self-defense. This has to do with the fact that when someone strikes you, you decide you want to retaliate to cause them pain. And we all know that on an individual basis, that violence give way, if you respond with violence to violence, it only escalates, amen? That's what this is about. And I also want to be something else very, very clear as well, that if you are in a relationship or in any kind of a situation where abuse or physical hurt or harm is coming to you, get out. This is not a verse to be utilized as a weapon to keep you underneath the hard hand of someone's cruelty. Get out. Come to the church. Let us love you well. Let us counsel you. Let us help walk you through what it looks like to engage that the way God has called you to. There is no place where God tells you to stay under that and just take it. This is intended to remind us that as people strike at us, we don't retaliate with violence. We don't retaliate in the same kind, because it just continues to hurt and devastate and cause damage. But then Jesus says also to those that would want to take from us, we're to give. We're to give. We're to release and trust to God that he would not only give us more, but that he would protect us, that he would provide for us. We're to be a giving people. So I've given some lists, and I hope that as you've thought through this, you've thought some practical things. I hope you've seen, and at least in the faces of those people that you've written down, but this is why we are to do this. Romans chapter 12, verse 20 to 21. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. So the whole point of this is so that as we as the people of God, as we do what Christ has called us to, that we can overcome evil with good. And so here's the thing. A lot of times this verse gets quoted and be like, hey, be really nice to him and it's gonna make him feel horrible, right? You just heap that burning coals on your head. Like, here's the deal. If your motive is to be nice to them, to make them feel horrible, wrong motive. The motive is for you to be nice to them that they might see Jesus, right? So that the enemy who is outside of the kingdom of God, as they hurt you and attack you, and as you express Jesus, that maybe they will actually come to recognize Jesus in you and might actually become a brother or sister, amen? And if they're in the kingdom of God and they hurt you and they cast stones upon you and they insult you and they attack you and they mistreat you, you are to love them the way Christ is, that God might draw them to repentance through the kindness of the Lord. Amen? Like, your heart and your desire should be to love them for them, not to love them so that you can get them to feel the burning coals falling upon their head. That's not the intent of that text. Now, here's the thing. We're to overcome enemies with love. It's the love of Christ. And there's a little text in here in verse 31, and Jesus says this. He says, and as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. So on your little piece of paper, you've got those names on there. It's Bob, Susie, Jude, whatever their names are. You know what you need to do? Is you need to write your name right there above them. You know why? Because you are on someone else's list. That's hard, isn't it? That's why Jesus says this. Jesus says, do to others as you want them to do to you, because you're on someone else's list. You have mistreated somebody. You have mistreated your spouse. You have mistreated your kids. You have mistreated a parent. You have hurt somebody. You are on someone. You might be on someone's list that you're sitting next to. I might be on some of your lists. I hope not. And if I get a whole bunch of cards this week, and I know you're just trying to be nice and heap burning coals on my head, right? But that's the point. It's like, listen, you're on someone else's list, brothers and sisters. And it's so easy for us to sit in this room and think about all the enemies that have done all these things to us and forget that you're just as guilty. See, that's the whole point here, isn't it? The whole point is that you have done these things to other people. And so you should treat them the way you want to be treated, because why? We desperately need it. But I get it. Like, I understand what it's like to sit and start thinking about it, because you can start and think about, have I ever hated anybody? Yeah, I do have that one guy or gal that I can't stand. Have I ever wanted harm to come to somebody besides Tom Brady? Yeah, okay, I have. Like, I have done those things, and here's the next thing that happens to us. Yeah, but they deserved it. Well, they hurt me first. They did something to me that hurt me, and so this is a justified anger. It's a justified response. It's a justified feeling in my heart. And maybe it is, but so is theirs towards you. And you say, well, I didn't mean to do it. It doesn't matter. This is the reality of living in a fallen world. Sometimes we do things unintentionally, amen? And so we want the same grace that we need given to us. And I think oftentimes we don't even realize that we're guilty of being someone else's enemies. And I pray that as we look at this, that this text shines light upon the reality that we are that person to someone else. And it makes us grieve over it. This whole text is unbelievably challenging. Because if you've tried to walk this, you know you cannot do this in your own power. You can't. And Jesus does something really interesting in this text. He begins to tell you what everybody does naturally. So here's what we do naturally. What is natural for us? Here's what we do. We love when we're loved. Is that hard? Everybody does that. The world does that. You can be the worst person in the world. And if someone loves you, it's easy to love them back. There's no good in that. There's no gospel in that. We all want to love the people that we want to love. But then he goes on further and he says, like, do good when good is done to you. Like, we all want to do that. Someone brings me a Starbucks coffee with a little cream, just in case anybody wants to. Like, I want to then give it to you, right? Like, I want to give something good to you too, because you've done that. This is what happens sometimes in relationships with a husband and a wife. As my wife is doing good things to me, then I'll do good to her. What happens when she doesn't? See what I'm saying? It's like, it's easy for us to want to do good to the people that want to do good to us. But the interesting part of this that I sometimes think that we miss is that there's a shift in Jesus's language from the 27 to 31 to 32 on. He's talking about enemies, and then he shifts to some other word, doesn't he? Sinners. You know why that's important? It's because what every single one of you in this room understands is what's natural to you, which puts you in a very particular category. Sinner. We're all sinners. And it's evidenced by the fact that we know what comes natural to us. This is evidence that we are all in the sinner category, because every sinner wants to do what's natural. Every sinner wants to hurt the people that hurt them. Every sinner wants to love the people that love them and do good to the people that want to do good to them. Why is that important? Here's why it's important. Romans chapter 5, verse 8 and 10. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life? See, prior to Christ, we were all his enemies. We hated him. We cursed him. We mistreated him. We did not give him the glory that he deserved. We were his enemies. And so now look at your paper. There you are. There's the three people that you see as enemies. Circle all of it. And you're all in the same category, aren't you? Everybody in that circle, which is every single one of us, needs the grace of Jesus Christ. And every single one of us were the enemies of God at one point. And so you say, man, this is so hard. It's so hard for me to love the people that are hurting me. You're right, because it's not normal. And your only hope is to recognize who you are in Jesus Christ first and recognize that you've been the beneficiary of grace that is undeserved. You've been the beneficiary of mercy that is undeserved. Because it's really, really hard for you to go to the Lord at night and say, Father, here's all the ways I have mistreated you. I have sought the pleasure of other things outside of you. I have found my satisfaction in other things beside of you. I have found my rest in other things beside of you. I have not been bold to proclaim your name. I have been lazy in the work of the kingdom of God. I need your grace. I need your mercy than to step out of your room and not give it to someone who has mistreated you. See, we got to know who we are first, amen? Like, we're sinners. Like, this call to love our enemies is not a call that Jesus himself did not do. Way more than any of us have ever had to. Because none of us have ever loved our enemies to the point of death, have we? That's the bar that is set for us. That's the call that is set for us. That's what Jesus is calling us to. Because the beauty of this text is this: be merciful as your heavenly Father is merciful. Have you received the mercy of Christ? Then what room do you have to not extend it? And you say, well, I've tried it. I've tried to love them. And they're just not turning around. I've tried to be kind. I've tried to do good. I've tried to pray for them. I've tried to bless them. And they're so ungrateful. Well, that's interesting. Because verse 35 says this. It says, you will be the sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful. Your gratefulness has nothing to do with his kindness. And the gratefulness of your enemy should have nothing to do with yours, because you've been saved by grace. And so from a very practical standpoint, brothers and sisters, you may not feel like loving your enemy. It has nothing to do with feelings. It has nothing to do with your feelings. You may be hurt It does not mean that you think it's okay for them to do what they have done, but you've been called to love them. That is an act of the will, to be kind to them, to do good to them, to bless them, that they might see the love of Christ in you. And as you do that, you need to pray that the Lord would give you the heart of Christ, the same heart that saved you, the same heart that saw you when you were his enemy, the same heart that came and died for you when you gave nothing back to him but venom. This is the gospel. And Jesus is calling us into this. And so this morning, as we close our time, here's how I want us to end our time. We're gonna turn, obviously, to a time of communion. And you've got a list of names on there. And here's an interesting thing that the scripture would tell you, that if you come to the table or the Lord's Supper, and there is something between you and a brother, that if you come to this table, that's a scary thing. You know why? Because you're coming to this table recognizing you need the mercy of Christ, you need the dependence of Jesus, but you're not willing to give it. You're not willing to give it. And so as we come to this moment of communion, and as we here in a moment are beginning to come and to take, before you come to take communion, you may need to do a work in your heart this morning. And maybe you're in this room and you see that list of people on that piece of paper, and you go, man, I don't know that I'm gonna love them, but I'm going to try to love them. And you need to decide this week you're gonna take practical steps to love them the way Christ has loved you, then come to communion and rest in the grace that he's given to you. Maybe you recognize that you're someone else's enemy in this room. And you need to go to them and say, man, I'm sorry. I treated you in a way that was not in line with the way the Lord wants me to treat you. Would you forgive me? See, the whole point of this is that we would be a people where there wouldn't be enemies in this space. Imagine the church that way. Imagine a church where there's no enemies. The fact of the matter is, that's not gonna happen because we're all broken. But you know what we all do? We can all love and we can all forgive, as hard as that is. And so I'm gonna just say this morning, you may need to jot down on your paper some practical steps you're gonna take this week to love that person, or some ways or when you're gonna go talk to them. Maybe they're in this room today. And I would encourage you, before you come to this table and you partake in the grace of Jesus Christ and you declare, I am saved by grace, I am saved by the death of Jesus when I was an enemy, before you say that, grab them and talk with them. Pre-reconciliation, restoration, healing. Maybe you need to take them out in the lobby and talk with them. And I don't know, but I know that it would please the heart of God if we did that, if that's here in this room. So here's what we're gonna do. I'm gonna pray. And as I pray, I would ask our prayer counselors and pastors, elders, if you would just come to the front during that time and just be prepared to talk with people. You may go, I want to be obedient to what Jesus is asking me to, but the hurt is so bad. Let's just pray with you. Let's pray with you. And I'm gonna pray, and I just ask that you just take a moment. Don't get up too quick. Don't get up too fast to the tables, but just take a moment and ponder and examine your heart. Are you praying? Are you loving these people? Let's be the church. And then come to the table and rest in the grace of Jesus Christ, that he died while you were an enemy, that he died while you were still a sinner. It's time to give of your offering because of that grace, to give to the kingdom of God, to say, man, I am all in because of what you've done for me, and to be overwhelmed by that work, and to give in joy. So I'm gonna pray, and then take how much time you need and come to the tables. Father, let us not move too quickly past this time. Father, I pray that you would give us the hearts of your Son to be able to look upon these names. Maybe we wrote them, maybe we didn't. That's not the point. But we would be able to see them with love. Father, you would give us that heart. We need that change in us. Father, I pray that you would give us ideas and even specific ways that we can step into that space. Father, I pray that you would forgive us for the times where we have tried to hold and harbor bitterness or say, man, it's just not, I can't do it. And yet this is exactly what you've called us to. So we confess that to you at this time. Father, I want to pray for those in this room that they're still your enemies. They don't want anything to do with you. I pray that they would see, even in these elements, the glorious grace that you died for them while they curse you. They may say, well, where's the mercy of God? I've experienced cancer and I've lost my family and I've lost my job or whatever it is. They say, where is the mercy of your God? Father, help them to see they're here. And if those things draw them to you, it is merciful and it is good. For his greatest desire is to save and to show compassion and to adopt us into his family. And I pray, Father, you'd help us to see that. So, Father, we just take this moment to be still before you. Pray a blessing upon these offerings, that you would use them for the sake of your kingdom. I pray these things in your name. Amen. When you feel ready, please come to one of the tables around the room and partake in the Lord's Supper this morning. As we end our time, I'd ask you, would you go ahead and just stand with me? And I want to just encourage you that, again, if you want prayer, the prayer counselors, pastors, elders, they're going to remain up here at the front to talk with you and pray with you after the service. And if you are in this space this morning and you say, man, like, I just can't even see the Lord as loving. I feel like he's just, maybe you're angry at God. Maybe you see him as your enemy. I legitimately think there's probably some in this room that think that. And here's what I would just want to encourage you is, one, look at the cross. People who want your bad and want things to go wrong for you and want to make your life miserable don't die for you. So look at the cross. Know that he is for you, not against you. There's no greater lie the enemy wants you to believe than the fact that God is against you. He would love to get you to believe that. And if you can't get to yourself that and you just want to ask some questions and you say, like, hey, like, I want to just tell you why I think God is against me, like, they would love to talk to you. So just come and let them pray over you and talk with you this morning. Listen, if this is your first time here at Central Christian Church, I hope that what you can see in our hearts, even as we read the scriptures, is that we want to be obedient and faithful to what God has called us to. That we want to be the people of God. And I hope that you felt the love of Jesus Christ, because even in this, it's about love. It's about being who Jesus is and acting the way that he's caused us to act. And our desire is that you can be here in this church and you can plug in and become a part of this church. I'd love to have the opportunity to meet with you. In fact, I'd love to just give you a gift. And so right after this service, we're outside these main doors at our Info Central. I'll be there to just talk with you, get to know you, and maybe get some information to help you get plugged into the body of Christ here at Central. Don't forget about Next Steps, the Women's Retreat. And if you want more information about Mustard Seed and what's going on in Japan, Paul and Sylvia will be hanging out at the missions table. I just want to leave us with this text. And it's out of it's the text we read out of Romans this morning. I got to get there. And I think it's such a valuable and important text for us all. It's simply this. For if while we were his enemies, let me just start a little bit further. Therefore, we have now been justified by his blood. How much more now will we be saved by him from the wrath of God? For if while we were his enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, how much more now that we are reconciled, that we shall be saved by his life? Let me just think about that. On your worst day, he reconciled you. You wanted nothing to do with him. How much more now? And so if you're struggling with guilt, you're struggling with being and experiencing and feeling the love of God, be reminded of that text in Romans chapter 5. And be reminded that he's shown you how much he loves for you, in that while you were his enemies, he died for you. And take that love and love the people that are around you. be the body of Christ, that they might see Christ in you this week. God bless, and we hope to see you next week.